Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. Terrible Cavs morning for everybody, ladies and gentlemen. Anthony Lima, Jason Lloyd in for Ken Carman, who, now I don't blame Ken for taking paternity leave this week. Can't blame him. Because yesterday we were having so much fun. There was so much excitement. We were wondering, oh my God, the Cavs could get Zion. Not only do we not get Zion, we're going to get a guy 99% of our audience has never heard from. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Jason Lloyd, how are you?
Happy Wednesday. How are you?
It's not a happy Wednesday. I'm miserable. And I realized yesterday, once and for all, how you can win an argument with me. Just get into a debate with me on Twitter at 11, 1130, midnight. Eventually, I have to go to bed. I cannot outlast you. You know, it was the old Survivor game. Outwit, outlast. I can do none of that. I have to go to bed. At some point, I have to go to bed. So you win. You guys all win the arguments.
I don't know why you engage.
Well, I've gotten better at it. I've muted most of the people that hate my guts. And so if you haven't heard from me in a while, it's because I've muted you. I will not block you, but I have muted you, so I don't see your tweets.
I'm the same.
And eventually, you know, a night like last night where I told everybody going into the draft, tanking is the key to success.
Yeah.
And I go to the USA Today, and I want to blast a writer who says, oh, tanking dealt a big defeat yesterday. I'm like, really? Because the team that got the number one pick in the draft dropped 13 of their last 16 games and tanked. The Lakers shut down LeBron James and tanked. I could go on and on. The Bulls tanked. The Knicks tanked. Like, just because the lotto doesn't go your way does not mean or de-incentivize tanking for years to come. And we'll get into this, but the Cavs have a top 10 protected pick next year. And the only way the Cavs are ever going to get a star is in the draft. They will not get one unless another one happens to be born 40 miles away. They're never going to get another superstar unless they get lucky in the draft or unless they maximize their attempt to get to the top of the draft. And that is going to be through tanking or just by incompetence by having a bad team.
Well, but the league got exactly what they wanted last night.
Did they?
Yes.
The Knicks didn't get the pick.
No, it doesn't matter. That doesn't
really
matter. No, it doesn't matter. Well, okay, in a perfect scenario, okay, they want the Knicks to have the top pick. But what they wanted was they didn't want to reward the teams with the worst record. They didn't want to do that. And I understand the Knicks were in that conversation, sure. But I think the league got exactly what they wanted.
But do you think going forward this is going to de-incentivize tanking? Because I'm looking at the teams, they all tanked, with the exception of Memphis. Now, Memphis is the rare team that got rewarded for actually playing their butts off. Mike Conley came back to the team. Now, they got rid of Marc Gasol, but they actually played their butts off, and they finished like they had like a 400 winning percentage the final 25 games of the year because they don't know any other way. Like, that organization is stuck in purgatory because they don't know their way. They finally, after all these years, are rewarded for playing their butts off.
But this is going to force teams to really key in on player development. And, you know, I look at a team like the Bucks.
Shouldn't they always have been?
Well, no. Not when... Well, okay, sure, fine. But if there's a player... And also, you have to remember, this appears to be one of those once-in-a-generation type drafts as well. It's not always a Zion Williamson or LeBron waiting for you at number one. But this is going to force teams to have to really rely on player development, sort of like what the Bucks have done. I mean, the Bucks got lucky with Giannis at 13 or whatever it was that they drafted. But they haven't tanked, and look where they are. You know, they were bad for a few years, but they weren't trying. They didn't pull the ripcord and try to lose games.
And the funny thing is, Golden State famously tanked in a draft where they end up with Harrison Barnes.
Right.
They actually said, their owner came out and said, and everybody within the organization, remember, they're light years ahead of everybody.
Right.
They famously tanked to get Harrison Barnes, and that was the one year they tanked. The other years they didn't, and ended up with Draymond Green, Steph Curry,
but
and Klay Thompson.
That was just at the end of the regular season that they did that.
Yes.
It wasn't a full season tank, and I think that's also a difference. When you talk about New Orleans, what New Orleans did losing 13 or last 16, whatever, the Cavs started tanking six games into the season, more or less. So there's, and that's what the league's trying to get away from. It's the league's trying to get away from teams that aren't trying all year long. If you have to manipulate or maneuver toward the end of the season, so be it. But it's the teams that are unwatchable from October through April that I think they're really trying to avoid. And I think last night was a success in terms of that.
I want to know from Cavs fans, how disappointed are you? We said yesterday, we had Chris Fedor on, who said the Cavs themselves would be disappointed with anything outside the top four. What do you know? The lottery results come in, and they come up with number 5. 216-578-0092. I want to talk to you today, Anthony Lyman, Jason Lloyd of The Athletic, somebody who's covered the Cavs for a long time. And yesterday had to be a big disappointment for the Cavs because, you know, you could say that they set out to tank. Part of it had to do with a Kevin Love injury that happened at the beginning of the year. The Cavs would probably tell you, and they told us before last season, they were trying to make the playoffs
right
last season. Well, Kevin Love goes down, and you look at the roster, and you're like, well, there's no way. I mean, arguably, their best player on the team after Kevin Love went down was Colin Sexton, who had a dismal first 2 to 3 months of the year.
But was it really surprising when Kevin Love went down? Is that really shocking? Should that really surprise a lot of people?
No.
And I think the Cavs always had it in the back of their mind that they could, if they got off to a bad start, if it didn't go the way they wanted to, they could pivot and or around January and protect the pick, which again is not the full season tank, which I think the league is trying to avoid. I think the league got exactly what they wanted last night. I'll say that over and over again. I think they got the outcome they wanted.
And yet, I don't think it's going to change behavior in any way of NBA teams. All right, I want to hear this. This is you're hearing Kobe Altman here. This is very interesting yesterday because he got into it with Joe Varden was asking him a question yesterday. And I think what you all realize is immediately when you hear this that there's a little bit of uncomfortableness in the room, and he was going to be asked about tanking, and he was yesterday with Joe Varden.
Your hand was forced last year when Kevin got hurt.
Yep.
You were going in one direction. He got hurt. You had to go another way. But because you had to go that other way, you've now been a part of this new lottery process. Looking back on it, what is that like? And now that you've gotten the fifth pick instead of where you were record-wise, like what is your takeaway from what you went through this year and how the lottery ended up?
You have to explain your question.
Just now that you've... So we used to have a lottery where the worst record, 25%, you know, there's basically like there's bigger chance for...
We wouldn't have had the worst... We wouldn't have the worst record either, so it's tough. I mean, I think when the NBA went to this rule model, I think it was for the betterment of the league, and so I totally get it.
All right. Obviously, there's a Kobe Altman was not happy that they ended up out of the top four, which, again, I was told four. They were okay with them 1 through 4. They ended up with 5, which is unfortunate for the Cavs and for their future. That doesn't mean, by the way, you're watching all these teams in the final four. You saw 2 of them last night. You're seeing 2 of them tonight. They all have superstars that were out of the top 4.
Yeah.
So that should make you feel happy. There's actually a plenty of guys that were taken 5 at literally the pick that the Cavs have. But I still don't think it de-incentivizes tanking. I still think teams will want to get to the top. And the goal is always going to be to get in the top 3. Next year is a loaded draft. According to guys now, we'll see how that is changed over the next 12 months. People are telling me next year's draft, way more comprehensive. Okay, way more balanced in this year's draft. This draft, they said there's a big chasm after the top 3. We'll see. That doesn't mean that DeAndre Hunter can't be terrific. That doesn't mean that Jarrett Culver cannot be terrific.
To your point, there's a better odds at 14% than there is 6%. And that's what teams are going to play. Teams are going to play the odds.
Well, NBA teams that are a slave to analytics, of course.
Yeah. So
of course they are.
So there will always be teams that tank. Yes. But the more that this happens, and I just wonder what the long-term fallout is if the top teams continue to not get, or if the worst teams continue to not get the top picks, what is that going to do for the long-term health of those franchises?
Well, the whole point of, and this is something we can explore throughout the course of the day. We've got a lot of stuff. Indians had their offensive explosion yesterday. Odell Beckham at OTAs. We've got a lot of fun stuff for you. Gary Parrish will be on the show later to actually break down who the picks are, who the guys could realistically get, and also Chris Sims of Pro Football Talk. We talked to him yesterday. Great conversation. You are going to love what he has to say about Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield. You might not love what he has to say about where the Browns are actually going to finish. To try to chronicle just how tough this league is. But as we continue to talk about this lotto, it was a disappointing night, obviously, for the Cavs, Jason. But I saw some people yesterday, and we got a phone call. A guy, Dan Menner, I actually went ahead and tweeted this out, and people were appalled. A lot of people agreed with him, but most of the people, the majority were appalled. Dan Menner said, "What's the point? You're never going to get LeBron James again. What's the point? You're never going to be as good as a team that just won the championship. Why bother?" And to that, I'm like, I don't understand that point of view. You're a sports fan. You're a Cleveland sports fan. So we're done. So once the Browns win a Super Bowl, that's it. You're good. If the Indians win the World Series, if they would have won in 2016, we're good. We can go do other things now. It's 50 degrees every day in the middle of May. You're gonna stay inside and just watch Game of Thrones and Mad Men and Breaking Bad? Like, I don't understand that.
Well, to his point, I think that what we saw, I don't know how that can be matched. The Kevin, Kyrie, LeBron years, I don't know how you match that. I really don't. It's very difficult. And when you have the instability at the top that this organization has, when you're constantly churning at the top and turning over, it makes it almost impossible. So I understand what he's saying, but if you look at, again, I'm going to bring up Milwaukee. If you look at Milwaukee, a cold weather climate, nobody wants to play in Milwaukee. And look what they've done. They've done it very organically. Portland the same way. What Portland's done. CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard at 6. So it can be done. I just don't have a lot of faith in this organization figuring it out when they have an owner who turns things over every 2-3 years. That's the problem. That's why I am very pessimistic that they'll ever match what they did with LeBron, Kevin, and Kyrie.
Okay, but I don't understand. If you're a sports fan,
well, of course you're going to root
for them.
You get
excited for.
You're going to root for the best. Yeah.
Well, people are making it sound like they're done. They're like, "What? Basketball's now a minor league sport?" And I'm like, I don't understand that thought process. And by the way, you have an owner, and you saw what they did with the Q. They're not giving up on basketball anytime
not.
Soon. In fact, look at the salaries he's going to pay out this year for a team that's not going to be great. Okay, I mean, they'll tell you they're competing for the playoffs. I would still maintain, and we can get into this over the next year, we're going to get into this. I would maintain they still need that top 10 protected pick, which has not been conveyed to Atlanta yet. Whatever. But they're not giving up on basketball, and I'm just curious why any fan would allow either a lotto result from last night or the fact that they lost LeBron James and Kyrie. You're just giving up forever. I just don't get that. You're robbing yourself of the fun of sports. That's supposed to be the best part of sports, that lets something grow organically. The LeBron thing was a cheat code. You guys, we all took a cheat code, and it worked. We all said, just get me one. They got us a championship. And now people are like, well, number 5 last night, it's over. Why even bother? I don't get that. Then you're not a true sports fan. You're just not.
I don't think it was a cheat code championship. I really don't. I've heard that more. I've heard that a lot lately. How is it a cheat code? Because LeBron came back?
Well, just that it wasn't the way that, you know, like Milwaukee. Like, okay, we're talking about Milwaukee.
Right.
And, oh, by the way, Toronto, I mean, they're using a rental player
right
in Kawhi Leonard.
I mean,
is that going to tarnish any of their success this year?
I don't want to go down this rabbit hole for too long, but they were terrible for 4 years. They protected the cap space. They made a couple trades. LeBron came back. They had the pieces to go get Kevin Love. They drafted Kyrie and Tristan and developed them, and they won a championship, and they supplemented them with the right pieces. Which, by the way, we haven't even gotten into David Griffin, but that man carries a rabbit's foot and a horseshoe around his neck.
What'd you think of him? What'd you think of that sight last night? Not wearing the wine and gold, not using a Cavalier pin, not talking about the virtues of belief in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Instead, he's at another city because, for whatever reason, Dan Gilbert and him had some weird falling out.
Well, so think about this. So Griff gets the job here. Chris Grant's fired. Griff is promoted. A couple months later, LeBron comes back, and he's got 6 number one picks to trade over the course of the next 3 years. And then he goes to New Orleans and falls into the number one pick there. So that is quite a streak of luck.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. 216-578-0092. Ron in Cleveland. Go ahead. First off on the fan. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Not good. Thank you. Appreciate you asking.
Yeah. So I want to make a couple points and then I'll listen. All right. I think it's ironic that LeBron James goes over to the Lakers and they're able to draft above us. Like,
They had a 2.8% chance of getting in number 4.
Yeah, that's how you know the basketball gods really hate Dan Gilbert for what he's done.
Well, what has he done?
He kind of changed the way LeBron plays. Really doesn't like paying players. Got rid of some GMs. But on another note, where's Ken at? Does he have syphilis?
I think he does. Thank you for the call, Ron. Appreciate it. It's been a long time. Jason, welcome to the show.
He telegraphed the hell out of that.
Yeah, that was it. He had no actual sports opinion.
Nothing.
Jason was sitting there going, wait a second, didn't pay his players. I'm like, just wait for it. I knew it was coming. I looked at Owen, I go, I know it's coming.
What have I walked into?
I will explain that off the air. 216-578-0092. I want to know from Cleveland Cavs and Cleveland sports fans, how much of a hit was that last night? Cavaliers fall. The odds were not in their favor. They end up slipping to number five. You had Chris Fedor yesterday say anything but out of the top four. They end up at number five. How devastating a hit is that for you? Are you thinking no season tickets? Are you thinking another Cavs vacation? I am not. I still think there are good players to be had. We're not getting Zion. We're not getting Ja Morant. We're not getting R.J. Barrett. But what does that mean for you, Cleveland sports fans? Also, your first chance to win $1,000 coming up in 40 minutes, our national contest. Stay tuned for the code word. We're going to hear from Chris Sims of Pro Football Talk and Gary Parrish to break down who the Cavs could actually get. That's all coming up straight ahead. Anthony Lyman, Jason Lloyd in for Ken Carmen on 92.3 The Fan. All right, unfortunately, it was not a fun night for the Cleveland Cavaliers. It didn't work out. They fell from the number two spot down to number five. Disaster scenario, according to Chris Fedor. New Orleans and David Griffin end up with the top spot. Memphis and the Lakers also jumping into the top four. How surprised were you yesterday at the results of the lotto, Jason Lloyd?
Very. Like everybody else, very. But I'm glad that we made it through 27 minutes and nobody has mentioned rigged. Of course, I guess I just blew that by mentioning it. But
I don't know how you could, because if the NBA was truly trying to rig it, obviously the Knicks would be up there.
If Knicks and Lakers go one,
Lakers, two. Probably the Bulls. You know, they would love the Bulls to be good again.
Of course.
Look, that stuff, I don't doubt, by the way, the frozen envelope, Patrick Ewing. I mean, that was the 80s.
Right.
I don't doubt it. I mean, I really don't. What kind of oversight was there?
Right.
You're picking envelopes,
right,
as compared to now where there's, what, 9,999 combinations,
right,
and there's a lotto ball, and one of the top accounting firms is involved, and it's secretive. By the way, people are really annoyed, and people are tweeting at me today, why is this secretive? Why is this still behind closed doors? And I'm like, because the TV would be terrible.
That's exactly right. It's much more dramatic doing it the way they do.
You've been involved in this. Explain to people how you know it's not rigged, and it can't possibly be rigged anymore.
Well, I mean, I could do a whole segment on that. I'll cut it down as much as possible. Yeah, I was in the room when they won the lottery to draft Kyrie, and it's like the lottery machine that you would see on the Ohio Lottery at night, and they hold the ping pong ball up, number one, they drop it in the hopper, number
two,
they
drop it in the hopper. Did you say the Ohio Lottery, Jason Lloyd? Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's Sharon Bicknell and Paul Tapier ready to give you the lottery results with Karen Harris. By the way, Paul Tapier, fan of the show, apparently was listening yesterday. We almost had him on the air. But go ahead, Jason.
Well, so there's a video out there of last night's show where there's a representative from each team in the room.
Riveting, I'm sure.
And yeah, and they pull the numbers, and there's huge posters on the wall with all the different number combinations. And they just pull four numbers, walk down the wall, and call out the team. But if it's rigged, I don't see how you could possibly rig it. And Ken scoffs at me. He's like, oh, mister, I was in the room. Okay. Like, Ken still believes it's rigged.
Well,
there's no way it's rigged.
Wait, real quick. Ken does have a great line about that. He says, all right, come on. David Copperfield, people are in the room.
That is true.
He's got a point. He's got a point.
Don't they – isn't there – times where the same number keeps being pulled
that happened
up
last
same,
night.
Yeah,
that so happened last night.
If
yeah.
you did that on TV, you would watch them
repull it.
The Hawks number 48 times before you actually got the pick.
That's just a classic case of over rigging.
Yeah, they over rigged it. Let me ask you this, Jason.
They outthought themselves.
I haven't seen this, and I know you've been dialed in as we both showed up 2 minutes before the show. If the Cavs would have tanked better,
yeah,
would that, because last year it would have helped them. I mean, not last year, but if they would have beaten like Brooklyn last year,
yes,
they would have ended up with the number two pick.
Yes.
What would have happened had they have lost more games this year? Would they have ended up in the exact same spot?
If they lost more games?
Yeah.
No.
Would they have ended up in the exact same spot that the Knicks ended up in? Are the balls assigned that way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where you finish, the ball combinations never change. The number combinations are the same. So the worst team always gets the first set of numbers. The second worst team gets the second set of numbers. But now that they changed the odds and everything, I don't know what the number configuration is. I used to have the list of the old way. I don't have it of this
Man,
way.
Man, this is some riveting stuff. You right. wonder why this is not on TV.
But that's exactly why. And like you said, Memphis actually was drawn twice last night.
Okay.
So they had to redraw for the Lakers for the fourth pick. Memphis actually...
So they were that lucky that their numbers Memphis's kept coming up.
Combination came... According to Howard Beck, I think it was Howard Beck who tweeted, Howard was in the room last night.
All right, John Beilein, your new Cavs coach, was in Chicago, I believe, at the Combine, as they're starting to look at all the...
Looking like Bill Nye.
Was he really?
They put him in that ridiculous red bow tie.
Are they doing that? Everybody is Cavs bow tie centric,
well,
right?
Well, Kobe did not wear the bow tie. Kobe's got some fashion to him. Kobe's very fashionable.
Well, then he ruined everything because everybody had to be in lockstep.
From the video I saw last night, Kobe and Brock Eller, one of the other guys in the front office, did not wear the bow tie. Everybody else did.
Huge mistake. They should have worn the leather vest like Kenny Kidd. Here is John Beilein, your new Cavs coach.
Would have helped.
About whether or not this team can improve with the draft selection.
I think this is a pretty good draft, and throughout the whole first round, you're going at 5 or 26, we're going to get two good players. It's really exciting to be in that opportunity. They have the fifth pick in the draft. Hopefully, the only way we're there again is if we because we traded and got that pick from somebody else, but we're going to take advantage of it now.
What do you mean no?
That's not why you're going to be that high again. You will be that high again next year. You better be that high again next year.
Okay, Cavs fans are not going to want to hear that, and they were told last year they were going to make the playoffs, and now it's year two of Colin Sexton. You know the Cavs are going to say at Media Day, when they all convene, by the way, Media Day is probably in like a week, because that's how long the NBA season is. You know they're going to say they're going to the playoffs.
Nope, they're not. No, they won't. Kobe, I already had that conversation with Kobe at the end of the season. A couple weeks ago when they did availability, and I asked Kobe about what's the timeline. He's like, I'm not going to use that word. He said, you killed me last time for it. And I'm not going to use that word again.
I just know Dan Gilbert is scheming. He's thinking.
He is.
They have two picks in this draft, by the way. How much better can they get in this draft?
I mean, you should get significantly better with the fifth overall pick. You should get significant. 26, whatever. I mean, that's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
You know, when the Cavs were good, everyone's like, well, go ahead and trade that pick. It doesn't matter. It's in the mid to low 20s. You know, so the same is true when you receive that pick. You're probably not going to get an impact player at 26.
All right, we'll get to that in a little bit. Offensive explosion for the Indians. Jordan Luplo, two bombs. Carlos Carrasco, dominant. 9-0 win over the White Sox. Did I not say, I believe I said yesterday, it was a big mismatch that they were going to get healthy on that game last night. Anyway, two-game series split is what they earned before they come home for 11 games. Roberto Perez, it looks like Bowers, Jose Ramirez, all going deep. That was nice. They needed a laugher. They got a laugher. They had lost 6 of 9. They needed that one desperately yesterday, Jay.
Yeah, let a little bit of the pressure out of the room. We're at the quarter mark. Like, you know, I was talking to some players last week, and they said, you know, Memorial Day, quarter mark of the season, that's when you can evaluate us. Okay, well, we're at the quarter mark.
Do they really want us to evaluate them right now? Because offensively, yesterday they had their explosion. That was nice. But at the quarter mark, their offense in almost every statistical category for an American League team is like all-time bad.
It's abysmal. I mean, Jordan Luplo is their leading hitter right now.
And I don't expect that to continue.
They need it from somebody.
Yeah.
They need somebody to emerge.
All right, 216-578-0092. That's it for About Last Night. When we come back, not a good night for the Cleveland Cavaliers in the draft lotto. I want to hear from Cavs fans. How down are you on the results last night? Or do you think they can get someone good at overall pick number 5+. Odell Beckham at OTAs, you're not going to want to miss. Chris Sims of Pro Football Talk, he's going to join us coming up in about 40 minutes. Had a good conversation with him yesterday. You're going to love what he has to say about Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield. Plus, in 20 minutes, your first chance to win $1,000. That's right, national contest. Stay tuned for the code word here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.